Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast. Super stoked that you're joining us today. My name is Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder of Wavebreak. If you're new here, well, I'm the host of this podcast, and I also run a company called Wavebreak. And at Wavebreak, we specialize in building best-in-class email programs for market-leading e-commerce brands. Listen, if you feel like your email program and your email marketing in general, you know, maybe you're using Klaviyo and you just feel like there's a lot of untapped potential in it. There's more you could be doing. You could be doing more segmenting. You could build out more automated flows. You could be sending more campaigns consistently, yada, yada, yada. But you know that, you know, email is a time-consuming pain in the butt. And at the same time, you want a trusted expert to be handling it. Well, you should check out Wavebreak. You can check out Wavebreak at, well, Wavebreak's website. Wavebreak, Wavebreak, Wavebreak. That's wavebreak.co. I'm going to drop a link down in the show notes below. All you got to do, click the link. You'll be taken to our website. You can see case studies. We've been crushing it lately for clients. This year, we're going to generate upwards of $20 million in email revenue for our clients, which is just insane. It's freaking insane. We can take the exact same strategies and systems that we're using with those clients to make that kind of revenue, apply it to your business, and help you do the same. Listen, if you want to learn more, the first step is just a quick intro call to see if your business might be a fit. We specialize in email for businesses selling over $4 million a year. We come in, we're your email team, and we just, well, we make it rain. And it's as simple as that. If you want to learn more, the best way to do that is to head over to our website, wavebreak.co, and schedule an intro call. You'll be speaking with me, and we'll go from there. We'll just figure out where your business is at, what your goals are, to see if this is a fit for your company. And if it is, we'll go from there. If it's not, at the very least, you're going to leave with a ton of ideas on things you can do with your email marketing and growing your business in general. And it's just a super fun time to be able to talk. But anyway, if you want to learn more about that, head to wavebreak.co. And without further ado, I'm really excited to hop into this episode. Today, I'm joined by returning guest Ryan Popoff of Popoff Leather. This is third time on the show in the last 3 years. He's grown his business 3x. That's three threes, which is a lot of threes. And in today's episode, you're going to be learning the key hire that changed everything for Ryan's business and got him out of the day-to-day, how Ryan got rid of his bank account anxiety, as well as the method Ryan used to increase revenue 3x over the last 3 years while also increasing profit massively, as well as much, much more. Like, this is one of the favorite podcast episodes that I've ever recorded. It's just super fun chatting with Ryan. We've literally been chatting, you know, for the last 2 years as his business has, you know, tripled, and he's really evolved a lot as an entrepreneur, and highly recommend you go back and listen to those episodes. We'll link them up down in the show notes below, but I was talking with Ryan before the show. He's actually the very first person that I ever interviewed on this podcast. Like, the very first podcast interview I ever did as a host, I interviewed Ryan. He actually didn't know it at the time. But I was even in my friend's closet, rigged up on like one of those IKEA organizers. I had the mic on like the top level. I'm in this closet. And my friend lives in Vegas, so it was super hot. I'm like sweating in this closet in the middle of the summer recording this interview with my first guest ever. And here he is appearing on the show for the third time. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Ryan.
Hey, Dylan. Thanks for having me, man. And yeah, it's so funny you mentioned the the closet thing, like we were just talking, you know, that's the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, you kind of just make do with what you have and go for it, and then keep things consistent and look what happens, right? You blow up, you become this huge podcasting champ. I don't know what better word to call you, but yeah, man, congratulations. This is really cool. Thanks for having me back.
I appreciate it. That really means a lot. Yeah. I mean, I still don't feel super legit, but I mean, I think we're almost as legit as it can get. I upgraded the microphone.
Are.
We got the sponsors. What do we awesome. Need next? What do I need? I guess, oh no, there's one sponsor I'm missing. Squarespace. This episode is just kidding. Squarespace and like ZipRecruiter. I think that's all that I need. And then I made it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But hey, man, it's really great to have you on the show, man. It's really, I mean, this is our third year doing this interview, which is just blows my mind. For the listeners who haven't listened to the first two episodes, I mean, first things first, you guys need to go back, listen to the whole journey. Like Ryan in the first episode, he had just cracked 40,000 a month in sales, I believe. The last episode, which was like a year ago from now, he had just cracked the 7-figure run rate. And yeah, anyway, for the people who don't know what Pop of Leather is, who don't know who you are, can you kind of get us up to speed quickly, Ryan?
Yeah, for sure. So we make leather goods, you know, like wallets, belts, book covers, totes, what have you. And it's all done by hand, made in our workshop here, made to order. So people go on our website, pick their thread, pick their leather color. They can get it engraved and it's all made to order. We package it, ship it out, all from our workshop here in Canada. And we just use USA materials and all our products. So everything's, you know, as local as you can get in terms of sort of leather good production. And we started in 2013. So this is our sixth year. You know, when I first started, it was just me and my wife. And we've grown to 12 full-time employees now. We have a 1,400-foot workshop that's off-site. This year, we just hired our first production manager, and we also hired a product developer who works with me side by side. So, a lot of really cool things in the pipeline. But that's us in a nutshell.
Nice, yeah, that's awesome. And if you guys want to hear more about the journey, I mean, we literally have from I forget when the first episode was. I think it was 2017. Now was the first one that we did together, or when we recorded it. And then, yeah, I mean, you can literally go follow your journey through the podcast, because, I mean, I'll link up the two previous episodes in the show notes below. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I think when we first talked, like, you had a very small team, and then last year it had built up a little bit. Like, what is the like, how has the business grown in the last, over the last year since we last spoke?
So yeah, I mean, that's jeez, we haven't regrown. So there are a lot of different sort of ways we've grown. You know, in terms of team size, I think we added three full-time people this year. You know, in terms of professionally, I've grown quite a bit. I went through an accelerator program. So, you know, I addressed a few things, productivity, you know, looking at the cost of our goods being manufactured, what's profitable, what's not, and getting our books in order. So one of the biggest pain points for me was, you know, not understanding financials. And now we have a good firm grasp on that. And now I can do things like budget and prepare forecasts and things like that. And yeah, so that was a huge amount of professional and operational growth. So there was a lot of, I mentioned earlier when we were not recording, that there were a lot of growing pains. So that was a huge component of that. Yeah. And then in terms of revenue, you know, we're doing about 90K US a month. So that's just over 100 and something Canadian. Last year we did 1 million in sales. This year we're projected to do 1.5. So we're, you know, it used to be we were doubling in size every year, and now we went up 50%, but our profitability is actually a lot higher than what it was. So we're in way better shape now going into the future.
Oh, nice. That's something a lot of people forget about, like the profitability part, because the numbers going up, that always looks good. You know, you might make the Inc. 5000 list or whatever, and it looks cool. And it's cool to say, like, yeah, we're a 7-figure company, 8-figure company, whatever it is. But if it's not profitable, you know, I mean, you look
what's
at
the point?
Yeah, what is the point? I mean, you look at all right? these companies now, I mean, like, you think of a company like WeWork, who's been in the news a lot lately at the time of recording this. It's like, I mean, they're losing like $300 million off a billion in revenue, which is like insane. Like, how do you, you could give me $300 million. I couldn't even tell you how I'd spend it, first of all. But, well, I guess, what is it? The founder spent $60 million on a jet. I mean, I could do that. I could figure that part out. but yeah, I'm really excited to dive in, just because, I mean, your business has been growing consistently. And then also, like, I like how you mentioned, like, growing pains, because I think that's something, you know, a lot of people go through. And I think your story, like, you know, sharing what you've learned and, you know, going through that acceleration program and the different things, I think it'll help a lot of people. So let's just dive right in, I guess. Like, you know, looking back, you know, when you say growing pains, like, what were the, you know, I guess, like, top growing pains that you kind of faced?
Yeah, so I think in terms for me, one of my biggest struggles is, you know, being someone who's sort of tasked with growing the company. Like, you could approach a business in two ways. You could be happy, you know, making wallets all day and making whatever all day and just working in the workshop, or you could be happy growing the business and, you know, employing people in your hometown and, you know, being known for a really high quality product. So for me, I wanted to step away from sort of the working in the business and move into working on the business. And I think maybe I touched on that on a previous episode or even before that. That was kind of my goal, was to sort of be the leader in the workshop. So one of the biggest challenges was going into the workshop and asking the workshop manager, being like, "Hey, how are we doing today?" And then the answer would be, "We're doing good." And that was it. Like, I had no way to gauge that. I had no way to know if we were getting stuff out on time or that sort of thing, because we promise our customers, you know, a 5-day turnaround and that sort of thing. So one of the biggest struggles was getting a firm grasp on that. The other one was, you know, figuring out if we were profitable and the things that we were making were worth doing. So I was very fortunate to be introduced to a program in the area that was strictly for non-tech businesses. We qualify because we're, you know, manufacturing leather goods. And they set out to help us achieve these three goals. So one was the profitability, the other was focusing on operations, and the other one was looking at our books and getting a firm understanding of, you know, where the money goes, where it comes in, where it goes. And those are all things I struggled with.
Nice.
I feel like I'm rambling a little bit here, Dylan, so feel free to jump in and cut me off when I
no worries at all. Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, are going to relate to those problems and those growing pains that you faced. I think you know, I mean, it's like knowing your numbers, like, not a lot of people know those. Profitability, it's like, how do I gauge, like, how much I can invest in the business and things like lifetime value, whatever. And then also, like, the first thing I want to dive into is just, like, removing yourself from the day-to-day of the business. I mean, it's like easy in theory, but at the same time, it's like, okay, let's say you're to take a vacation. How do you make sure that the orders are going out on time? How do you trust everybody to say they're doing what they're going to do without your brain? You know, as an entrepreneur, like, you used to see, you make every order yourself in the beginning. And then, you know, it's just like, how do you get the peace of mind that you had before while at the same time letting go and trusting people to do their thing so you can elevate yourself as a leader, which is going to elevate the business? So yeah, how have you done that? How were you able to step away from that side of the business?
So I think one of the biggest challenges for me, and it's still ongoing, is letting go. You know, if you can get someone to do what you've done at a 90% capacity, then that is probably the best that you could possibly hope for, because there's always going to be human error. I'm really lucky in that everyone who works at Pop Off Leather is stoked to work there and is really passionate about making leather goods. They're really committed to delivering an exceptional product to the customer, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who see the product that they produce with their own bare hands, right? So every product that goes through the workshop passes through, I would say, 6 or 7 sets of hands until ultimately it gets shipped out the door. And so everyone has a stake sort of in the product that goes out, because as soon as there's a customer complaint or, you know, normally it's just a customer complaint, but as soon as we get those, everyone kind of knows about it because it's so rare. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, because we're such a small team, we all know it kind of affects us. But I think the biggest sort of transition that I made was hiring the operations manager. And I would have never have done something like this unless I had participated in the accelerator program. Because here I am. Originally, we were just going to hire another workshop manager because the one who was in their current role was leaving us to move away. So that was sort of the opportunity during the accelerator program to go, okay, well, I need to hire another manager. And then they came back to me and said, well, you know what? You should hire someone who's going to be paying for themselves like two or threefold. So you need to be looking for someone who's in this salary range, who has this amount of experience. And that, like, when they first told me that, I probably went as white as a ghost, because this person is making, you know, X more than me or Jill put together. And I'm like, what? I can't afford this. I can't afford this.
Right.
And so they eventually convinced me that was a good idea. We went through the steps of crafting, you know, a job description. You know, it's not just making a job description, but it's actually selling the position to someone who might be interested in, because, you know, you're not just looking in this area. You're looking like all over North America for someone to move here to do this position. This is the kind of thing that you need. So we eventually did find someone who came to the business with, you know, 10 years of manufacturing experience, operational experience. So now this person, you know, I said before, if someone could do like 90% of my capacity, I'd be happy. This person's doing 200% of my capacity.
Wow.
And it's blown me away. Like, you know, we used to get an order, it would come in, we would make it, it would go out the door. Now we're instituting Kanban systems. We have like this full on manufacturing operation now. So what's really cool is before Bob started, we were saying, you know, 2 weeks to get something out the door. Now it's down to 5 business days to get something out the door. And with the Kanban system fully in place, we're going to be getting it down to 1 or 2 days. So we're going to become,
wow.
I like to say the Amazon of the handmade leather goods world.
Yeah, that's freaking insane, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it, not just that, but he's just so much of a better leader than I am. It's taken so much off my shoulders that I can now focus on the stuff that I really am passionate about, like the marketing and the outreach and sort of the more creative side of the business. And he's just taken everything else and essentially molded the workshop, and everyone loves him. And it's honestly the best thing we've ever done for Pop Off Leather was hire this guy. And I never would have done it without the accelerator program. I was just scared by, you know, the idea that I couldn't afford the salary. But now looking back on it, I couldn't afford not to have made this decision. So I'm really happy about that aspect.
That's a great point. Okay, so like imagine, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to this podcast right now and they're like right in a similar position as you were back before you're about to hire this person. Like if you could talk to yourself right before you're about to make this hire, like what would you say to them?
Like if someone else was in the same position I am,
let's say you're talking to Ryan from a year ago before he made this move. Like would you be like, man, hire this guy ASAP. Like you need to do this. Like stop worrying about it. Like it makes you
honestly,
like, better in this way. Or
there's this parallel to this decision versus the decision I made when I hired my very first employee. You know, the same thoughts went through my head. Can I afford this? Is this a good idea? And the answers were yes, yes, 100 times yes. Like, do it. If you're a business owner, you're doing everything yourself and you need help, hire someone. Just do it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But chances are, you know, 99% of the time, it's going to be an excellent idea. If you're thinking of it, if you need to do it, do it. And then, you know, once you get to the stage where you need more operational help, or you need someone who can fill in sort of a bigger set of shoes, hire above your skill level, like what we did with Bob. Like hire someone who's an expert, who's worth, you know, worth what they're asking for salary. Like you should be hiring experts, you know. It was such a tremendous, tremendous thing to do. So yeah, I guess it would depend on the person's situation, you know, the size of their business, what they're hiring for, that sort of thing. If you're hiring for sort of, I guess, management position, hire someone who's expensive. They're going to pay for themselves. I guess saying hire someone who's going to pay for themselves and make sure that they're going to pay for themselves. I guess that's kind of the mantra, but don't be afraid to do it. I was scared until it was beating over my head and I needed to do it. And then we did it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you know, like, deep down, like, did you know, like, that it was, like, the right thing to do, even though you didn't want to do it?
Yeah.
Just, yeah, like, that first person, it's like, ah, oh, man, yeah, I can't afford this. But then it ends up, just like you're saying, it's like, you see later, it's like, I couldn't afford not to.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? It retrospects only 2020. Like, you, it's, the vision's very clear after you've done it and you've gone through it. But at the time, man, it was scary. It was so scary. Because, like, that was the same time where I didn't have a firm grasp on financials and budgeting and all that stuff too. So it was extra scary because I'm the one looking at the bank account every day, not these advisors. But ultimately it was a solid decision.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love how you frame it like that too. But yeah, I think that's great. I feel like there's a lot of people who, you know, they're listening to this podcast, they know they need to make that leap, you know, whether it's hiring that next level person or it's, you know, hiring that first person. It's just like one of the biggest levers that you can pull in your business. So that's awesome. Let's take a quick break to talk about screwing up. Did you know that Shopify can't help you restore things that get deleted or accidentally changed in your store? Meet Rewind. Black Friday will be here before you know it. In the event of a data disaster, what do? You use Rewind. It's like having a magic undo button. They can back up Shopify and Klaviyo and give you peace of mind. And to help protect every store over the holidays, check out their special new free plan at rewind.io and back up your store today. Link is down in the sponsor section of the show notes as well. And then one thing I kind of want to follow up on that you mentioned is like, okay, so your production time went from 2 weeks to, what was it, 5 days? Yep. And now it's about to be 2 days. Okay, like, yep. How is Bob? Bob's his name, right?
Yep.
How is he? What is his sorcery? How does he do? I can't even think of how that's even possible.
So he came to us from a different manufacturing environment where he actually grew with the business. So the business, they made interior parts for vehicles. So like the dashes and the circuitry that went behind it. So it was a very, you could almost imagine like the conveyor belts in a factory and people kind of soldering things. It was kind of like that environment. So he got to see from the ground level, from, you know, a 20-man operation all the way up to, like, I think they had 200 or 300 people working there. And he was a plant manager essentially. So he had all this manufacturing experience under his belt, but not from necessarily an academic perspective, but actually from a, you know, just experience, like having implemented it and being part of it. So he was able to take what he learned in that environment and apply it to ours, also with the perspective of sort of the small team environment. So being cognizant of, you know, we're 12 people, so we're not 300. But he was able to apply a lot of the same principles. So like Kanban, you know, having the parts of the wallet kind of ready to go, produced en masse, so that one section of our team can just grab the parts off the shelf, sew it, and then out the door. Rather than, you know, get the invoice, cut the pieces out, put them together, glue them out the door. So now by speeding up certain areas of the workshop, we can make our overall production a lot more efficient. So the customer will get their orders out a lot faster now than they used to.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one other thing I really liked that you said was just like about hiring the person is it's like, you said, like, you know, hindsight is 2020. Like, you can see the vision, yeah, looking back. And it's just like, you know, I look at decisions in my business where it's like I hesitated or it's like I was waiting, even though I knew it was something that, like, I knew I needed to do. And it's like I kind of like put off 3 to 6 months of results because it took me that long to like come around. So it's, yeah, like, and like you said too, like, I really like how you said, like, listen, like, even if it doesn't work out, like, you know, you can get rid of the person. And I think another important thing to note is, like, you're an entrepreneur. Like, if you're worried about losing the money, it's like, you're going to make the money back.
Yeah.
And the only way to make more money, you know, at a certain point is, like, you can't build big things alone. Like, you're going to have to keep scaling beyond yourself and keep kind of digging deeper. And, you know, and the scary thing is, like, adding payroll, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
But what's
interesting. It's funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to add, you mentioned payroll. That was one of the things that, you know, when I went into this accelerator program, one of the things I'll never forget is one of the one of the entrepreneurs said to me, or the executives in residence, they call them. He said that you'll never not worry about payroll. Like, this is a guy with a multi-million-dollar operation telling me this. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is totally normal. You're always going to worry about it. So I'm trying, you know, I still do, but like maybe to a lesser extent. I always remember this guy's words. He said, you know, you'll always, this, you know, super successful guy, you'll always worry about payroll. You'll never not worry about it. So you just got to get over it. You got to make those tough decisions, and you know, you only have to make that decision once to know that it's a good idea to do it again in the future. So, you know, like hiring your first employee, hiring your high caliber person, these sorts of decisions need to be done, and they'll continue to need to be done. So like, you'll just find something else that's going to stress you out even more. But as you keep doing these things, you're going to have more and more confidence to kind of go, okay, this is the right decision. And then you're going to look back on it and be like, yeah, I'm glad I did that. So, you know, whether you put it off 6 months or do it right away, I think that's, it's super common. And, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed of it or anything, but you should be really proud that you pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's kind of like weightlifting. Like, it never gets easier. The weight just gets heavier in business.
Yeah.
Like, a buddy of mine, I mean, he runs a company with like 300 employees, like insane amounts of revenue. And I mean, his payroll is like more every 2 weeks than like I've seen in ever seen in a year, basically. And it's just like insane. But I was talking to him about it, and he's like, he just started laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? He's like, Dylan, it doesn't get any easier. I'm like, it's kind of like a lie that nobody says when you get into entrepreneurship. It's just like I guess people kind of try to tell it to you. They're like, it's hard. And you're like, you're just a hater. Like, I'm doing it. But like, if people actually said like how hard it actually is, nobody would probably sign up. But I guess that's why, you know, it's good that, you know, guys like you and me, it's like, we just say, screw it, put our heads down, keep going. Yeah, man, that's awesome. I want to dive into like the second kind of area that you mentioned, and I think this is a good area to dive into. You don't have to get too specific around this, but just like the profitability angle that you talked about. You know, I talk to store owners all the time, every single week, you know, clients, people on the podcast, just friends who I know in e-commerce. And a sad common theme is like, people really don't know their numbers. It's kind of just like, hey, as long as we're getting a positive, you know, return on ad spend, like, fingers crossed, it all works out in the end. What was your process for, you know, going from that kind of mindset and that kind of, you know, that place to getting to the place where you are now, where, you know the numbers? Like, can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, so it was twofold. So one, it came down to my financial literacy. So, you know, I worked with one of the executives in residence to kind of get a full understanding of, you know, what's top line revenue, what's bottom line revenue, you know, what are your direct expenses versus your indirect expenses? What happens when, you know, you start selling wholesale? Like, what does that do to your indirect expenses? You know, like, how do you process your inventory, and how does that affect your profitability? So getting a firm understanding, or even just like a, you know, it honestly doesn't take a lot to understand these concepts. And, you know, once I did that, things started to clear up a little bit for me. The other part of that equation was developing a cost of goods analysis sort of spreadsheet. So I have every single product that we make in the workshop. We did a time study on every single one. So we measured how long it took to essentially produce 5 items and then averaged it out. Then we looked at the cost of material that went into them. So like, I measured every single piece and shape. I accounted for waste. I accounted for fluctuations in currency, because we buy all their stuff from the States and ship it to Canada. So I took the material into consideration, took the labor into consideration. I took the depreciation value of all the tools and machinery that you use in the workshop into consideration. I took the time it spent to package the item into consideration. I took the time, sorry, not the time, but the materials that we use for the marketing and the packaging into consideration. And I rolled all of that into, you know, what each item costs to produce and get to the consumer. And then I was able to see our margins. So, you know, I could see if we run a sale, this is what our margins will be like. If I adjust shipping, you know, if I start charging an extra dollar in shipping, this is what our margins look like. So I was able to develop a tool, and then in conjunction with my financial literacy, I was able to make some decisions. So I looked back in 2018, you know, I was looking at items that maybe weren't selling a lot of, or maybe items that were very low margin type of items, and I just cut them. So I just got rid of them. And then we just focused on sort of the items that were high margin, that were popular. And, you know, the items that weren't high margin, I looked at them and I said, well, how can we make these, you know, more in line with our other margins? So, you know, a lot of that turned into sort of product development. So, you know, maybe instead of using this type of hardware, we could switch to a different type if we change the shape of this, whatever, without compromising any quality. So by having that understanding of our financials, you know, being able to look at where we sell, how much we're selling, what is the cost to produce, and then the cost of goods spreadsheet, I was able to look at each item line by line and sort of dial in our profitability. So now we're starting to see a lot of that materialize as we get to sort of the end of the year. And it's really cool. It's really cool to see that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's really interesting. Like, I mean, like what you said was just really, it doesn't take much to know your numbers. I think it's kind of like the guy who hasn't been to the doctor in 10 years. He's just so terrified of like what might be there that he just keeps avoiding it. And then it's just like, okay, it's only gonna, like, you're only going to make the problem worse by avoiding it. And all you need to do is, and the thing is, like, so many of us get in this type of business and we don't have like a formal business background. Like, we don't have MBAs or whatever. So it's just like, I had to literally learn like what a P&L was. Yeah. Like, P&L, do I have a P&L? It's like, what the heck is that?
What's a balance sheet, right?
Yeah. What are costs of goods sold, right? Like, what is that? What's the difference between net and gross profit? You know, all these things. And then, like, you know, if you want to sell your business someday, it's like, okay, how does profitability impact that, right? Your top line and bottom line, they both have different effects on the value of your company.
And not to make fun of anyone, you know, who's listening, you know, we're joking around saying what's P&L, what's balance sheet, but that was literally me, you know, 5.5 years into running this business. That was me. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until this year where that was shown to me. And it's, you know, it honestly take about 2 hours to, like, if you watch a YouTube video or something, you'd figure it out pretty quick, and it's so worth it.
Yeah. It's the same for me. Like, I was just winging it for the longest time. And then it's kind of similar thing. It's like, you know, I just literally sat down. It's like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to learn the difference between, you know, net and gross and, you know, top line, bottom line, what actual P&L looks like. And then once you figure it out, it actually gets fun, because then you can start doing, like you're talking about, is like modeling and like projections and stuff. And you can see, like, ooh, what if we did this to, you know, our, like, what if we made this change in our manufacturing? It's like, ooh, that would increase profits by this. Or like, what if we made this, put this much more into marketing? Okay, that would look like this in revenue growth. Or like, what do we need to hit this? And then it gets fun. And then you don't have to be afraid of your numbers anymore. But I think the most important thing was, like you said, it's just like, learn the, I mean, that's all you need. All you need is the basics. Like, you don't need to be, you know, you can always, just like you were talking about earlier, you can hire somebody to be, you know, to do the fancy stuff. But at the end of the day, your business just has to be profitable. And if you don't know your numbers, then you don't know you're profitable. But yeah, that's super cool. What has the impact been, you know, on your business and just on your, like, I guess, like, your overall life quality as an entrepreneur, knowing your numbers?
Yeah. So that was one of the biggest stress points. Again, I keep going back to this accelerator program, but honestly, this has been one of the most pivotal moments in our business, was going through this program. And one of the first conversations I ever had with these folks, you know, apart from not being financially literate, was my stress levels. So looking at my bank account every day would essentially dictate my mood for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, am I down? Am I up? Whatever. And, you know, as you develop your budget and your forecast and you have your monthly statements, now you can see that you're profitable, and now you don't really have to worry about the day-to-day cash flow. If you you look at your bank account now and you're down, you still know you're profitable. So things are good. You don't have to feel stressed out. So that's one of my biggest things this year is, you know, as long as I could look at my monthly statement and we're net positive, then I'm a happy camper. You know, the bank account could be down, it could be up, it could be whatever. Ultimately, it's irrelevant. I mean, cash flow is cash flow. And I didn't really understand that concept until, you know, having this financial knowledge in place. So now it's a lot less stressful. It's still stressful, but you know, it's less so because I have a direction and I know a plan. I know that we're going to be doing well if we kind of keep going in the same way we're going. Having that background in financial literacy or at least a basic understanding will help you be less stressed for sure.
I mean, just like if you're one of those people who, and I mean, I've been there too. Like that's why we're both talking on this. Like we're not going to talk about anything from an angle that we haven't personally lived. You know, I don't believe in that on this podcast. And it, you know, it's the same for me. It's like, oh, you know, you just don't look at the bank account. It's like, fingers crossed. But like when you know your numbers, like you literally don't have to worry about it, which is super nice. Like it's like you just don't have to worry every time you go in, which is super nice.
You get more of a bird's eye view, right?
Right.
It's the same as like working in the business or working on the business. When you're looking at your bank account every day, you're kind of like, you're kind of in it without any perspective. But like once you start getting your statements and understanding them, then you can kind of get a bigger picture and what makes more sense and have a better feeling about that.
Right. And that's really when you can make the huge moves. Have you read the book Stillness, the new one, or The Art of Stillness?
No.
Okay, so it's a new one. It's pretty popular right now. I'm forgetting. I think it's by Ryan Holiday.
I know that guy.
Yeah, so he has this new book.
What's his other book I read?
Trust Me, I'm Lying. Confessions of a Media Manipulator. He has a bunch of other ones. Anyway, just dropped this new book called The Art of Stillness. And it basically talks about exactly like what you're talking about, where it's like you're in the day-to-day, you're in the weeds, you're not going to make the best decisions for your business, and your business isn't going to grow the most. And they just go through a bunch of examples from everything from like, you know, presidents to like Jesus and like how, you know, like today, I'm not very far into the book, but it was talking about how like during, you know, like tension with Cuba and Russia and all these different things, who was the president at the time? Kennedy was like, you think this guy would be freaking out, but instead he's like swimming laps in a pool and like hanging out in the garden, just like chilling. But really what was working was his like brain was working in the background. And he's like doing all this like high level stuff where he's not in the weeds, because if he would have said like, hey, let's just attack these guys, it could have completely, like they did the scenario where it's like nobody knows what would have happened, but like basically nuclear war would have broken out and like the whole world could have died. But instead... And it's the same thing with your bank account. No, just kidding. but yeah, I mean, I think that's a key, right? Like, just like you keep talking about, you know, and this is what we've been able to see as you've grown your business, Ryan, is like the further you pull yourself from the day-to-day of the business, the more the business continues to grow, not just from a revenue standpoint, but you're pulling yourself out of the weeds, the numbers, and now you're increasing profitability, which is super cool. Did you increase prices on any products? I know you cut some. Did you do any price increase or...
The only thing that we've changed, we used to do free shipping on everything, but now we have a free shipping threshold. That's really the only thing that we've changed, I think, in a year from now. Yeah. The other, like, we want to avoid the price change because, like, I think we're reasonably priced as it is. We run a fair number of sales throughout the year and people kind of wait for them. And that's just how we've positioned ourselves. But apart from that, we've looked at it mostly from an operational standpoint. So wherever there was a margin that we didn't like and it was a popular item, we worked really, really, really hard to, bring up that operational side of things so that we can make it more profitable rather than having to just inflate prices.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point too. I mean, there's so many different things that you could do. I think, you know, just to like piggyback off that, I mean, you keep talking about, you know, working in these different groups, right? Like your accelerator, like me personally, like I, you know, involve myself in the same business groups and, you know, one of my mentors in that space, he's always like, every time I say like, hey, like we have to spend this much on this. And he's like, well, do you actually? Like, why is it that number? And I'm like, okay. And then I go back to the drawing board and I'm like, hey man, actually I can do it for like half the price. He's like, I told you. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Just cause you know, we get so wrapped up in this way of thinking. And that's another thing too. Like what, I want to talk more about that. Like what is the impact of, I mean, obviously all of these moves that you're making now are a direct impact of, you know, surrounding yourself with those people. Like for the people who are kind of doing this solo, like what would you say to them?
Can you reframe that? Like if someone
Let's say
someone wasn't able to draw on sort of the expertise of someone who's kind of like
I guess two kind of buckets. I guess that's one way we could go about it, but also like the person who, you know, they have this e-commerce business, the help is out there. The people are out there. Yep. You know, the communities, the groups, the coaches, but like a lot of people, I guess, you know, it's like, ah, that's like more money I could be spending, you know, on my Facebook ads, or it's just like hiring somebody, like, is this going to even work? Like, what would you kind of say to that person? And then we kind of get into the person who's, you know, still, you know, maybe they're not at the point where they can get into a group like that. Maybe they can't afford it or they don't qualify, whatever it is.
You know, for me, like I'm part of some of those kind of groups and things, and you know, there's lots of resources online that you don't have to pay for, and you can be parts of groups of other people. You know, you can listen to tons of podcasts and get awesome, you know, insightful. I think for me that what's helped me grow the most is just kind of keep my ear to the ground. Don't look at one thing as the ultimate solution. And this is me after saying that, you know, the accelerator thing was the greatest thing I ever did, which it was. But like up until that point, you know, a lot of my knowledge and expertise just came from asking questions and just participating and being parts of other groups. But there isn't really one, you know, divine source of knowledge that's going to help any particular person. I think the biggest thing that kind of drove me was just having a passion for business and, you know, being genuinely interested and stoked on the stuff that we're making. If you're jumping into a business where you're just drop shipping and you're just trying to make money, it's going to be a lot harder to care about what you're doing. And that's, you know, that's just my personal perspective. So yeah, man, I don't know how to answer that question, to be fair. It's just, it really depends on what you're doing and, you know, how committed you are to doing it. It's yeah. I don't know, man. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, like, I almost forget the question I asked, but can you throw the question back to me?
So I think what you're trying to ask me is, you know, as you're growing your business, where do you get that level of expertise, or where do you get that source of knowledge that helps you, I guess, bring your business to the next level? For me, you know, if I were to really think about it, a lot of it just comes from trial and error, you know, picking yourself up after failures. You know, this business is built on a ton of failures, and whether you get that strength and courage from other people or you just do it yourself, I think that's kind of like the main thing. There are a lot of places you can look, for communities. Like I know on Facebook there's Shopify communities. I know there's e-commerce Fuel. I'm part of that. That's been really helpful. Reddit has some stuff. You have to just be really careful and kind of filter things, you know, like find out what's relevant to you and do your best to parse it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. I think for me, like, yeah, I would say the same thing. It's like the most important thing you can do, like, especially if you're listening to this podcast, like so many people, it's like, listen, you have all the information you need. You just got to do it. Like, that's kind of the biggest thing that's held me back is like waiting the 3 to 6 months to do the thing I know I needed to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I think, you know, working with an accelerator or a coach or something like that, it's just like, number one, like typically you put money on the line. And then you have somebody who kind of helps you narrow the focus. It's like, no, listen, like, you know, you need to do this thing. Actually, they don't even tell you that. It's just like, what do you know you need to do? It's like, I need to hire this person. And they're like, so what are you going to do? It's like, I'm going to hire this person. And then you just do it. But like, that's the biggest thing. I mean, like, you know, I feel like everybody, you know, you start with books because it's like, that's the easy, you know, you start with the free articles and you get into the books and then you get into the courses, then you get in the groups. And then from there, it's like you just kind of keep working your way up until you get into the expertise. But I mean, ultimately, like, you can have all the knowledge in the world. But what separates, you know, you from the person who's listening to this podcast who didn't grow 50% last year and increase their profits and, you know, remove themselves from operations is like they just didn't do what they needed to do to get to that level. Yeah, that's kind of my thing. And also, like, just realizing, like, action cures anxiety. So, like, you're anxious, you're stressed as a business owner. It's like, what's freaking you out? It's like, I'm freaked out by my numbers. It's like, well, get them in order. You know, it's easy for me to say, but I was that guy before. I didn't know my numbers. But yeah, I guess that's kind of how I'd approach it. Now I feel like I'm being interviewed on my own podcast. That's what happens on a third appearance. But yeah, no, it's been really great to have you on. Like, we're starting to run out of time here. But man, this is a great episode. I think just because it's just been fun to talk about the progress that you've been able to make over the last year. It's been fun to chat with you as the business has been growing and watch like you and your mindset and your confidence evolve. That's another thing. It's like by taking these actions, like you build your confidence and your certainty. But it only comes from like taking action.
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. Yeah. And that's what separates entrepreneurs from people who don't run businesses, right? It's that action, right?
And there's so like you were saying earlier too, like there's so much, like if you just want to make money, it's like there's so many easier ways to make money. Like payroll stocks, what else? You know, like laws, legal, taxes, like it's just, there's so many other things you got to think about versus, you know, there's definitely easier ways to make money than this. But hey, man, really appreciate you having on the show. You having me on the show again. No, really appreciate you. Oh my goodness, someone said it again.
Really, really happy to be here, Dylan.
Yeah. Oh man, it's my Friday 5 p.m. brain. That's what time it is for me on the East Coast. But hey, man, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing all this knowledge. Once again, this episode's going to help a lot of people, and I look forward to having you on again next year and hearing what you learn.
Thanks a lot, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.